In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we begin, actually Ash Wednesday we began the season of Lent. This is the first Sunday of the season of Lent. And our Holy Mother, the Church, has placed before us in today's Gospel our Lord going into the desert to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And it's the scripture is very clear. He was led by the Spirit. It is God who has led him into the desert. It is the work of God that leads him to this fasting, but also it is the work of God that leads him into these temptations that the devil is going to hurl upon him. We too enter into the season of Lent. Our Holy Mother, the Church, invites us in. We're going in to this battle, if you will, with our eyes wide open. 40 days of fasting, penance, mortification. It's going to be hard. We're going to be hungry. And the devil is going to come and tempt us. We see the three methods the devil used against Christ. These are the same three tactics the devil used against Adam and Eve and continues to this very day. There is nothing new under the sun. What we need to figure out is, are we able to resist these temptations as Christ has showed us we can resist these temptations? We must realize that we don't need to be greedy. We don't need to hoard up food because we have a Father in heaven who loves us. He takes care of us. There will be food tomorrow. This world is a world of abundance and plenty. I'm not going to guarantee we won't be hungry, for that's part of God's plan. So when the devil comes and we're hungry and says, turn these stones into bread, or take this, or break your fast, say, no, this is not what sustains me, but what gives me life is God. And I need the Word of God, and it is more important to me to obey God than to listen to the devil, to eat, or to satisfy my hunger. That's not what is important. And then, of course, after you shove this temptation of the devil away, that you are going to live by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God, that it is God who gives you life, it is God who gives you food, the devil will take you to the opposite extreme of vanity. Oh yes, so God protects you. Very good. Here, let's go up to the top of the temple and throw yourself down. For it is written that God has sent his angels to take care of you. You have a guardian angel. God is watching over you. Throw yourself down and God won't let you get hurt. Do something foolish and tempt God. And again, our Lord shows us the simple answer. It is also written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And if you get past that temptation of the devil, he's not done yet. He's going to show you all the glory of the world, all the riches, all the pleasures of the world. You can enjoy all of these things. They can all be yours. Just bow down and worship the devil. And of course, that is again where our Lord shows us what to do. We tell the devil, be gone, Satan. For only God will I worship. Only him will I serve. And not anyone else, even for all the riches of the world. For what will it profit me if I gain all the riches and the pleasures of this world, and I lose my soul for all of eternity? It is a fool's bargain. The devil makes it look very good because he's a great salesman. But it is a fool's bargain. The pleasures of this world, even if you could enjoy them all, would not be worth losing your soul over, losing the eternal happiness of heaven. We go into this season of Lent knowing that our penances, our mortifications are going to create these temptations. The devil is going to step in to test us, to try us. We don't need to be blindsided by the devils. We don't need to be blindsided by the temptations. On the contrary, we need to be prepared for them. They're coming. And the closer you get to Christ, the closer you advance in virtue towards heaven, making progress in your spiritual life, the greater the assaults of the devils are going to be. You conquer one thing in your spiritual life, and the devil's there to fill your heart with pride and vanity. You overcome that, he's going to tempt you with something else. And he never gives up. He never stops. And too often we think, oh, I've reached this level. I should be above and beyond those temptations. Those won't bother me anymore. Our Lord wasn't above and beyond any of those temptations. The devil still came and presented those temptations to Christ, the Son of God. He endured those temptations and he fought against them. And he showed us how we can fight against them. We are fools to think that we will not be tempted, or that we should not be tempted, or that we don't deserve to be tempted. The greater the treasure, the more we can expect that others will try to take it away from us. The greater our spiritual treasure, the more we can expect that the devils will attack us. We're going into the season of Lent with our eyes wide open. We're going to do penance. We're going to fast. We're going to abstain. We're going to do whatever we can to offer ourselves, our lives, as a sacrifice to God. To unite our sacrifices with the sacrifices of Christ. And I know in this world that we live today, the word sacrifice seems to be a dirty word. Penance, oh, that's not necessary. That's too hard. And I believe all of that is a demonic suggestion. If I take you back to the beginning of recorded history in the book of Genesis, the first brothers from Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, we first hear of them when they are offering sacrifice to God. Right from the fall, sacrifice is necessary. And it is still necessary because we have sinned. We have offended an infinite God of infinite majesty. It's not a slight offense. It's not a little thing to disobey God. You say, but it's disobedience in just this tiny little area. Oh, but it's a disobedience against an infinite God. And if you stop and think about it, one little act of disobedience from the angels in heaven turned them into devils. cast them out of heaven into the depths of hell. It wasn't a little insult to God. It was an eternal insult. But when man sinned, God gave man a second chance. Rather than demand your life from you, God makes a deal. I will not take your life, but you must offer something in sacrifice in your stead. Rather than take your life, I will accept the life of your prize flock. I want your best yearling lamb. I want your best heifer, your best bullock. Whatever it is, I want the best that you have. You must destroy it. Burn it on the altar. It is not for you, but it is for me. I will accept your best offering in place of your life. You will get to live if you will make this sacrifice for me. We see Abel understood this and gave God the first fruits, the best fruits, his best lamb. And that sacrifice was acceptable to God. It was pleasing to God. His older brother Cain, I believe he was a farmer. He harvested his grain. And he looked at his grain and he said, "Oh, this is the best grain. I should keep that for making bread. I should keep some of that back for planting next year. This grain over here that is not quite as good, I'll give that to God. I'll put that on the altar, burn it and destroy it and give it to God." And he wonders, "Why is my offering not acceptable?" Because you didn't give your best. You think your life is worth less than your most perfect grain? You think that God cannot give you grain next year if you don't keep the best grain to plant? Do you think you deserve the best bread made from the best grain? And so we see right from the beginning, sacrifice is an essential element of worshiping God. When Moses took the Israelites out of Egypt, God ordained his brother Aaron to be a priest with the specific task of the priest to offer sacrifice. The priest studied the law of God, and he was the one who was to tell the people, "You did this crime, you committed this sin, this is the sacrifice that you must make in order to make reparation with God. To appease the wrath of God, you need to do this." And God demanded the first fruits, the firstborn male that opened the womb belongs to God. Of every family, of all the tribes, their firstborn male was to belong to God. But God said, "Okay, I'll make a deal with you. I will just make the children of Moses' brother there, they will be that priesthood. The rest of you, your firstborn son, you can redeem him for me by making a sacrifice. When your child is 40 days old, you go to the temple for the rite of purification. That son belongs to God. But if you want to take that son home with you, you offer to God something in the place of that child." And in the time when Christ was born, the price for poor people who could not afford a lamb was 2 turtle doves. And Mary and Joseph offered in sacrifice at the temple to God, two turtle doves, rather than the life of their son. Sacrifice was already necessary. Christ came to be the perfect sacrifice, rather than a lamb or a grain or some turtle doves. Christ becomes the unblemished victim who willingly takes upon himself our sins and dies upon the cross so that we can live. He offers this perfect sacrifice to his Father in heaven so that we might live. He dies on the cross so that we can have eternal life. And you say, well, the sacrifice is done. No, after the Last Supper, when our Lord instituted the holy sacrifice of the Mass, he gives explicit direction to his apostles that they are to continue this in memory of him. They are to continue this sacrifice, but no longer in a bloody manner, as the sacrifice on Calvary or the sacrifices of the animals in the Old Testament, but now in an unbloody manner, with Christ taking on the form of bread and wine, he becomes our sacrifice. And now the devil will say, oh, you see, Christ has already done it all for you. You don't have to sacrifice. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to repent of your sins. Jesus already knows that you were going to sin before you sinned. And he suffered and died on the cross so that you don't have to pay for that sin. He already paid for it. It's already paid. You just go on and sin on bravely. That's the temptation of the devil, the temptation of the world. And at that point, we have to say, no. It is also written that Jesus said, you want to be my disciple. Deny yourself daily. Take up your cross and come, follow me. St. Paul makes it very clear that there's something lacking in the sacrifice of Christ. And when you first read this, you are shocked. Of course, there cannot be anything lacking. This is the perfect sacrifice. But St. Paul tells us we have to fill up that which is lacking in Christ's sacrifice. What is lacking in this perfect sacrifice? Our sacrifice. Christ is waiting for us to do our part. The merits of Christ cannot be applied to us unless we, each and every one of us, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. We have to bring our sacrifice to him. We have to unite our sacrifice with his sacrifice. And when the two sacrifices, the sacrifice of Christ united with our sacrifice, or probably it would be better to reverse that, our sacrifice united with Christ's sacrifice becomes the perfect sacrifice. It becomes acceptable to God. And then the mercies of God are poured out upon our soul. Not until the two are combined. Our sacrifices and penances by themselves mean nothing. Christ's perfect sacrifice on Calvary will mean nothing to us unless we unite our sacrifice with his. When the two are perfectly combined, it is all acceptable to God. And he will accept that in place of the punishment that we deserve, the punishment of death, eternal death. He will set aside that eternal death because of the merits of Christ. When our sacrifices, our penances are made perfect in him. So we must not fear the penances, the mortifications, the sacrifices this season of Lent brings upon us, but rather we should eagerly, willingly enter into these penances, these sacrifices, these mortifications with our eyes wide open that we are following Christ. We're going to do our best, but we also know the devil will be there. The devil will be there to tempt us. But as long as Christ is with us, we will be able to overcome each one of the devil's suggestions, each one of the devil's temptations. But we have to call upon God. We have to unite with Christ. We have to follow closely in his footsteps. And we need to begin to recognize the temptations the devils are putting out there. Because the devils paint them so beautiful, so appealing, so wonderful, so reasonable. It all looks good on the surface. And that is the trap of the devil. We must not listen to those temptations, but we must focus on Christ, on what Christ has taught us, what he continues to teach us through the Catholic Church. This we must focus upon and resist all these snares. And also, I will remind you one last time, the closer you get to following Christ, the more you grow in virtue and grace, the more you can expect the devils will assault you. They will tempt you. They will try you. And it makes perfect sense. It's very logical. The devil doesn't want to let go of you. And he's going to pull out all the stops. And the closer you get to the goal, the harder he's going to try. We know we're going to face temptations. We know we're going to face trials and tribulations. We know they're going to be very appealing. But we must be resolved, with the help of Christ, to resist them one after the other. No matter how hard, no matter how difficult it might be. As I often speak to others, I said, you have to pull out a little bit of that German stubbornness. You have to hold on to this no matter what. And it feels like sometimes you're beating your head against the wall. Well, I'll just keep beating it because this is what I'm supposed to do. I cannot change. I cannot alter. I don't even want to listen to your talk. This is what Christ said to do. This is what the church tells me that Christ tells me what to do. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to fast. I'm going to do penance. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to mortify myself. And I'll do it even if it kills me. Because this is what God has asked of me. Do whatever you want, say whatever you want, but I must do what Christ has done. I must do what Christ tells me to do. I must follow the path that Christ shows me to follow. and nothing else matters. We focus on that and nothing else. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos et maniat semper. Amen.